Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topic focus on real issues confronting families and communities across America. Yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, is the host. We're happy to entertain you once again, as we do regularly, engage various experts or individuals in fields with experience. Most importantly, you are listening audience and provocative conversations. We encourage you and invite you to join us. This platform serves as a catalyst for reaching a national audience. You can be a part of it live tonight, this October 3rd, 2017. Simply give us a call here in the studio at 657-383-0944. Again, you can call us here at 657-383-0944. Our topic tonight, you can't understand where I'm coming from until you walk in my shoes. The difference in generational mentalities. Now, it is quite obvious that present day there's a difference in the mindset of certain distinctive generations. And we're going to define really what we mean by generation in just a second in our monologue. But consider that over the last 60 years, key information and best practices for rearing children have been lost on the present generation today. There has been a failure to teach, guide, and correct young people in our society at large. I realize that may come in the form of indictment to some, but don't look at it that way. Look at it as a means of understanding where we must focus our attention. So tonight, again, feel free to join us here. We'll have our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is a staunch supporter for what we're doing, and he's the author of Still High, which is in our back on our back store for the website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Very useful and powerful read. We encourage you to go there and check that out. He will be with us, and we hope to have a gentleman, Mr. Casey Clark, again, one of our previous guests, from a previous show. We've been trying to reach them unsuccessfully thus far, and perhaps some others. But more important to you, our listening audience, 657-383-0944. Without further ado, we're going to go ahead and offer our monologue for the show, and then we'll get into our discussion. I'm going to be reading in part from our organized seminar and lecture for the national tour. You know, this show is designed to reach a larger national audience and to promote our seminar, educational seminar and lecture, specifically focusing on wayward or at-risk young males. And so directly related to that lecture series, as others are indirectly, but more specifically tonight, this one is, and we will be reading from some of the text there. So we'll get right on it. You can't understand where I'm coming from till you walk in my shoes. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14 reads in the King James Version, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's first begin by defining, for the sake of our conversation, what a generation is. Because what we're looking at is the difference in the mindset or of generational mentalities. A generation is all of the people born and living at about the same time. Okay? Some of them could be born that a day and they're 1 year old, and the others that could be 30 years old or 40 years old. It can also be described, and most likely, most often it is in historical terms and sociological terms, as the average period, generally considered to be about 30 years, three decades, during which children are born. They grow up, they become adults, and they begin to have children of their own. Again, that's the context or the frame for our conversation in terms of generation. As we look at it, and we date back, particularly for the Afro-American subgroup, to the first opportunity that they had to actually operate and live as free citizens in America and to benefit from all the rights and privileges of citizenship, we have to go back to the ending of slavery in 1865. And so that will kind of set the tone for our generational eras. But we will speak of the last two generations since 1865 and the impact that those two generations have had on our young people. You know, often people say, we got to help our young people. We got to get them off the street. We got to do something. We got to do something with them. Well, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to tell them? If you're not ready, you know, you might as well, in many ways, just leave them alone because you'll do more damage than you would good. Nonetheless, let's get it tonight. And again, I want to encourage you to give us a call here and join this conversation live. Let's first begin discussion about the era of what in my lecture series I term Afro-American affinity. In other words, identification with heritage and culture from an Afro, people who derive from the continent of Africa historically. All right? And we're looking at 1955 to 1985. The decade of 1965 resulted in federal government pacification of angered Afro-Americans across the country. With racial tensions continued to brew and pressures on then-President Dwight Eisenhower, and after the death of Kennedy, who won the 1960 election, later Lyndon Baines Johnson, to bring relief from the gloomy conditions of poverty and social despair, as we saw during the Civil Rights Movement, More legislative pledges were made, but they were only made on paper. These promises were intended to calm the frustrations of Afro-Americans, protecting harsh treatment and other things that were going on in the nation. However, angry sentiments between whites and blacks would continue well into the next decade, the next 10 years. We saw that as evidenced by the death of Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., even Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in Chicago. These men demonstrated the violent temperament, or what happened to them, I should say, demonstrated the most violent temperament in America from 1965 to 1975. You had young people walking the streets all over America trying to find themselves and find where they get, where they fit in. Those casualties silenced major voices of influence, people who were concerned about their neighborhoods, about their community, about family. They became afraid because of what happened to the men I just previously mentioned. The fear is it may happen to me. Unfortunately, even preachers found themselves afraid to act out of fear that I might become the next victim. By their fate, many other Afro males would learn to either remain quiet, inactive, or suffer dire consequences. The latter losses would prove to have a devastating effect on patterns of independently demonstrating male responsibility or leadership within the family, within the community, for the next generation to come. Examples of misguided social directions for young men began with new musical genres, beginning in 1975, Kool and the Gang and these cats like that, Curtis Blow. Between 75 and 85, you had different musical genres to come and to captivate the minds. Earth, Wind, and Fire and other groups, they had meaningful music. The Temptations and the OJs, they had, but these other groups come in and brought a different style of music. It allowed for outward expressions of their anger, their frustration that were displayed in what became known as hip-hop and later rap music. Music industries coupled with an economic agenda of televised media made it possible for young men to grow up with a national mentality or trend of expressing their bitterness toward authority figures, not only the police, but the fathers that they missed in their homes and anybody else that would get in their way. Came the oppressor, and they turned their hatred, toward one another via negative messaging that was controlled largely by movie images, Superfly, and things of that nature. Some of the culprits were Viacom, CBS Corporation, Time Warner, 21st Century Fox, and News Corp, Bertelsmann, Sony, Comcast, Vivendi, Televisa, the Walt Disney Company, Hearst Corporation, Organization Global, Le Gardere Corp. These were some of the major controllers of the multimedia industry then, and they sit now controlling the conglomeracy. So they shape what you see on TV. They shape what you think about yourself. They shape what you think about your brother. They shape what you think about your family. They shape what you think about your future. When you think about it, and young people are ready to give up on life, they're ready to fight and to go all out, consider that this is impacted by what has been fed to them through media. From the latter media controlled, the latter media that I just mentioned, it controlled the imagery and expressions of self-hatred that has become representative of the most negative notions today of what it means to be African-American. Now, I can't say that this is for everybody, but it's certainly for far too many of good people. And it makes it difficult for this negative idea of being African American for you to even get along with any other ethnicity, white or Hispanic or Asian or any other group. All right? Well, now, for a second, let's look at the era of what I term African American social mystification. Social mystification. And I'm labeling this, I'm putting a number between 1985 and really 2015. But we're beyond 2 years past that 15 period now. Today, the aggression we see exhibited throughout urban America, the continuum begins with ignorance about who you are, what your purpose is. That turns into a frustration about coming from false assumptions about somebody mean mug you or having something out against you, and you got to get them before they get you. This grows into a fear that's driven by anger over the diversities or the adversities of life and the failures and not being able to live the American dream as you see other people. Well, prolonged anger turns into anxiety. Ultimately, this unchecked, undealt with anger and anxiety is manifest into you hitting somebody in the mouth or taking a gun and blowing your brother's brains out. You thinking, I need to carry me a weapon with me everywhere I go because I don't want nobody to get the up on me. This is the nature of the street violence and the self-on-self violence that we see, particularly in cities like Chicago and even in Los Angeles and cities all over America, Indiana and New Orleans, those cities that we're targeting with our lecture series. Now, ironically, the main object of your violence is the vulnerable community or neighborhood from which you were born, you came from within your generation. Well, those communities and neighborhoods often are disorganized. They're open to people to come in, buy up your properties, and cause social economic manipulation and depression of the people that's been there for decades. And even allowing those people to become distinct or non-existent anymore. The African-American subgroup has existed in America for approximately 398 years. However, the subgroup has been formally free as American citizens for 152 now. And I'm speaking up yet again, December 31st, 1865. When 34 states of the Union said we're going to do away with slavery. Subsequently, we got the 14th Amendment, which gave you human rights, supposedly, and the 15th Amendment that gave you the right to vote, choose who represents you. It's been five generations, beloved, since then. The nation has been shaped largely by political, economic, and social trends. Jumping from one political party to another, they dictate to you what you're supposed to do to keep what you're looking for coming. And unfortunately, not enough people are looking for their own independence, their own will. Rather than operating solely from their own agenda, too many young people today are frustrated that within their subgroup, they heavily depend on somebody else to think, to plan, and to act for. Some young cats are brilliant, excuse my street vernacular, and they want to express themselves. They want to show what they can do. But others, the elders, seem to be telling them, no, don't do that, baby. Sit back. Wait a minute. They didn't give us permission to do that. They're not going to let you do that. Well, who is they? Tragically, the important lessons that were learned from Black Wall Street and elders of the past and previous generations have been lost over time. And these young brothers don't know that there's nothing wrong with making a dollar in America as long as you do so wisely and legally. Everybody else is doing it. The sad part about it is they feel as though in order for them to make it, they got to destroy one another in the process. Lastly, in 1712, a key method used to dominate the black or Negro family unit was to dehumanize the male figure and to break up the communication, the trust, and the love within that family. This process came with both intended and unintended consequences. But when we look back, this past December 18th in 2015, just 2 years ago, 152 years to date, this coming December, will have passed since the start of government efforts to empower the so-called, or once called Negro, once called colored, once called black, once self-called Afro-American, and now commonly called African-American. The aim was to help them assume their rights or privileges of American citizenship. But I'll tell you, no one can give you a right that's God-given. You must exercise that. Careful study of the Afro-evolution in America will reveal an unintended consequence of self-alienation from the American dream itself. For a significant population of Afro-American youth in this present generation of 2017, from birth to 15, from 15 to 30, you got to ask yourself, what's really going on? If a character poll was taken of the typical young person today, I would argue that the results would most likely indicate that they are mystified, baffled, confused when it comes to identifying their social character, purpose, and reason, not just in the city that they have citizenship, but in the world abroad. By and large, young Afro-American people today, and we see this blend now with even Caucasians as they interact with each other, they've lost respect and confidence for the voice of the elders and the positions of individuals who are supposed to be a representative of your of people that set the tone, and example for you. Who are you talking about? And we see, I list some case studies in my book, case studies 78 through 119, in this present generation. But we've seen the rise and fall of black men as politicians. And it leave young men wondering for what. We've seen, unfortunately, the embarrassment of black men as preachers. And it leaves young men in the streets saying, for what? We've seen, unfortunately, the run and the absence of fathers, and it caused young men to say, for what? At the end of the day, we have a responsibility to teach our young and to ensure that they get the right information to stand firmly on their feet and to be about who it is they identify themselves as. Now, at the end of the day, if we don't do it, the question is, who's going to do it? I got some good men on with me tonight. Give me a call here, 657-383-0944. You listen to Talk Straight, our topic. You can't understand where I'm coming from until you walk in my shoes. Pastor Ricky Waller, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How about yourself, Pastor Dockery?
Man, I'm fired up tonight, brother. I'm fired up tonight.
I can tell. Yes, sir. You're saying a whole lot right there, man. I just wanted to brace myself to be able to continue to hear. You know? Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
We're in a tough spot. We're in a tough spot, but we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here, man. But Charles, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody doing?
Good, good. How's the family?
All right.
Doing good, pretty good.
Good deal. Help me out, Charles. You heard the monologue, man. What am I going to do with myself? Are we in this fight by ourselves, man?
It's a designed program, you know, to keep you like it. It's designed for you to feel like that. So we got to deal well. You know, that's what's going on, especially in our culture, that it's designed for it to be like it. We just got to be, you know, proactive against the situation. That's all.
Right, right. When I was putting this together, Charles, I thought about you, brother. When I heard you say a couple of shows back, we need to throw our TVs out because it ain't doing nothing but ruining our mind, young people, man. And, man, that, you know, that it's something to that, man. It's something to that. When
it's a lot of people in sin. That's why you can't get your – you don't have an imagination and get no vision, you know. And God, you know, it's a TV right there. It'll direct your thought process for you. It'll start talking for you. It'll start giving you ideas for you if you can't think for yourself. That's what it's designed to
right.
do. So.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what it's
Go ahead, Pastor. You going to say something?
No, I was just basically saying that's what it's designed to do, is to capture the minds of the people. Yes, sir. I have a new that's unlike never before. Yes, sir.
Now, gentlemen, do you all know what Viacom and advertisements have and Vivendi, what they have in common? I never will forget, Pastor Walker, growing up the street and seeing cats standing around passing a 40-ounce Slitz malt liquor bull. And you got Snoop Dogg talking about his Seagram gin. Well, guess who owns these? Guess who owns these companies, these liquor companies? These are people that live across the sea, Charles. They don't even live in America. But they're controlling the lives of people in ghettos of America through music and substance. Isn't that something, man?
Through music and what else?
And substance, liquor, alcohol.
Yeah,
dope.
Man, a lot of this going on. A lot of that's going on, brother. No doubt about that.
And then you get people that will fix their lips. We want to help our young. Well, if you're not going to tell them the truth, stay away from them. Just stay away from them. You're not going to shoot straight with them.
Hey. It makes you wonder if they really want you to succeed at any in life, because they provide all the tools for you to destroy yourself. It seemed like to me,
right.
out here in nature.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to grasp the concept. How can you have a courtroom, you know, or a system designed to correct people out here when you set the trap for them to fall in? It's like, I don't get it. It's like, are we just that stupid? We don't even pay attention to it out here like that? We got to be stupid as mankind to even see it. Being set up, they provide the tools for you to destroy yourself. Then they got a place for you if you touch the tools that they designed for you to touch. Put them in arm's reach. I don't get it. I don't know. Like,
you know, but
I don't know.
Here's the thing, Charles. Here's the funny thing about it, right? Nobody's making you do that, or are they? Right? We argue that. Didn't nobody tell you to pick up the dope? And there's some truth to that. But the truth of the matter is, psychologically, your actions are being suggested to you and are being controlled.
Yes, because they told you what the dope. Then they telling you, that's making you suggest to pick it up if they're showing you can make money off it. You know what I'm saying? They're showing you
right.
both pictures. Then telling
right.
you another thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
I mean, Pastor, I'm asking myself, as a man of God, as a one who preach and proclaim the gospel truth, if this is not involved in the message, are we wasting our time?
Well, I mean, that's some things to acknowledge, because you said if you're not reaching out to them, you might as well leave them alone. I mean, it's like, you know, if you got a finger to point at them and you haven't walked in their shoes, that means
watch
you don't have
now.
The experience. You're not there.
Watch it now.
And
watch
that,
it now.
That's what Hillary is coming out of being a witness. See, when you are a witness of something, that means that you say, okay, I understand what you're dealing with. If you have no understanding, it's probably because you haven't walked in their shoes. Now,
come on, talk to
what
me.
I love about what I've learned is that the Word of God says in the book of Galatians chapter 6, and I noticed in verse 1, it gave me an understanding about what it means to consider yourself being in a trap. It says, you know, brother is overtaking the fault. You who are spiritual,
right.
You start
right.
Such a one in the spirit of weakness. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the book before me, but I do know it says considering yourself being tempted, considering
there
yourself
you
being captive, considering yourself. In other words, you have to put yourself in the person's shoes. Now, that's a big shoe to wear. You know, it's
right.
Be out there, it look like people are comfortable being there, you know, but when you're in a trap, man, you got to be comfortable being there, like it or not. That's what the trap
yeah.
is all about. It makes you look like, it makes you look like things are fine, and, you know, you look at them and you put your finger at them, but yet still, they're probably wondering why you're not trying to get them out. And
absolutely.
That's the way I look at it. You know, I look at it, if I was out there, I would want somebody to bring me the truth. Whether I come out
right.
or not, at least bring me the truth.
And shoot
and
straight
that's
with
what, yeah, shoot straight with me, man. I mean, because
okay.
it's not a really a good thing, brother, to sit back and watch destruction flow. I mean,
absolutely.
Just watch it flow and just continue. And then
right.
go inside of a building on a certain day and just rejoice like there is no tomorrow.
Like
you
ain't
know,
nothing going on.
And I mean, rejoice real
let,
dude.
Let me
go ahead.
Let me Charles was gonna say something. I wanna slide this commercial break in here because callers we do or listening audience, wherever you are, we can use your support to get to our cities that we're targeting. So I want you to if you don't mind, Charles, go ahead and then we're gonna get this announcement in.
I just wonder why they don't incorporate that, like, far as your education system, far as when you're going to school from kindergarten all the way up to high school. Why is that never even talked about? I don't get what we can get prepared for if we're not talking about the matter. So what are we? I mean, what's education then? You know, this is forced education on your child has to go to school, or they're going to send those people to call your phone or whatever. And they're going to have a problem with the parent, but they're not talking about real life issues. What are we sending our kids to school 8 hours out of the day to learn nothing about the traps?
Man. That is so true, and I'm going to answer that when we come back from this break, because that's a heavy question right there, and it deserves an honest and talk straight answer. It deserves one. It deserves one.
Yeah.
Let me get this message in right quick, and we'll be right back.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Too fast. Mothers have kids they all love. Young men think it.
heart to God. All this way. Everybody's trying hard to find a life in a world that's flawed. When each one should be thanking God.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. The number is 657-383-0944. Give us a call right now. We'd love to have your comment and hear your questions and respond to them. When we left before the break, Brother Charles asked a very relevant question, and that is, why isn't the concept that we're talking about today really those who know how to walk in the shoes of those who struggle the most? Why isn't that being taught? That process of walking in those shoes and surviving that journey. Why isn't that being taught in the school? Charles, it's real simple. It's real simple. Because that is the dominant society, and their aim is to get you to acculturate yourself with it. It is not designed to teach you your individual identity, nor to embrace any heritage or culture of your own. This is why certain groups like the Jewish community and the Irish and the Italian community, they start their own schools because they want to rear their children with a sense of identity and purpose. What is that saying to us, Charles? What do you think that's we ought to be thinking about?
I think we should be heading in the same direction, because without it, we're going to continue to go down the same path. It's leading us nowhere, keeping us more dependent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you look
and
at the
when you,
go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Charles.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, when you're dependable like me, you will lose your identity because you can't, you can't survive. You don't know anything about survival or anything like that. So you were saying, you can go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when you look at nationally, all across America, the test scores, and you see who is struggling the most academically, it's African Americans. That doesn't mean every African American is struggling, but those who struggle the most are African Americans. That's what the data says. And more specifically, it's black males, Pastor Waller. So why shouldn't we focus on that group right there?
You know, if we want truth, because the only thing, and I repeat this, the only thing that would make us free is truth. We're not getting truth.
You see, sir.
We've been lying for so long, and the lie actually looks serious. See,
it sure
Charles
does.
Spoke about it, about the trap. The trap looks good, man. It sounds good.
It
feels good. So it know how to assist you in many areas that you have no clue that it's a trap. So, I got pretty much upset just the other day about my own self, not at myself so much, but about myself. I thought about my soul being in a trap. I thought about my soul in prison. You know, and when I thought about that, I'm supposed to be free in my own community. I'm in a trap and in prison without being behind bars. Man, I thought about that, man. So here, there is no way I cannot realize now that I've come to myself and say, hey, man, that was a trap, man. It's no way that I would have spent that many years into doing something that when I found out that it was controlling me, I had to continue to do it in order to get out of the trap.
Right, right.
And
you
that's
know,
one of the things that you so many like that today.
Right, right. I was just going to add to what you're saying, Pastor. The amazing thing is it causes a lot of people to be some, out of nowhere, it seems like they just get angry. Something boils up and builds up in them, and they're ready to strike out. But they don't realize this thing has been brewing and festering over time. You've been going along to get along and pretending like everything is all right until one day your conscience just slapped the mess out of you.
Yes, sir, brother. And I'm saying I got angry about myself. I was like, man, look at that. Do you see what happened to you? And then I had to realize within myself and be honest about it. Yep, I really do. Now that I know, you know. You know that saying that they have, and I'm going to turn it back over. I know now what I didn't know then, but that was
right.
I did not know it was a trap.
Right.
Back then.
Right. Right. You know, Charles and Charles, I had a very interesting conversation just today with a 73-year-old white man. Not that the fact that he's white should really matter, but I think one reason why it is significant is because he's of a certain generation, gentlemen, that saw racism at its height. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
We knew he grew up with it. But the conversation was about the frustration that now everybody has. Everybody wants something to fight against or to be against, and everybody want to protest, and everybody want to say, they did this to me, and we going to do it back to them. And what we were talking about, Charles, is the reality is everybody need a time out and go back home and figure out what your business is. Handle your business, and you won't have time to be fighting everybody else. I would argue that our business have gone so long undealt with that now we don't even know what we should be doing.
There you go. There you go, right there.
It's the same thing. It's just the image of it is changing. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing we always. We just never got our spot. We never put our mark down. That's why I feel like as a culture we get respected because we have nothing to fear. It's like, okay. A protest won't do nothing at its most because they know at the end of the day, if it gets physical, they know they got the upper hand, they're going to win that. So when you're not protecting yourself on that battle, you just, I mean, we're so spiritual, we don't even look at it from that avenue. And I respect black people for not being able to see it for this many years. It ain't our fault that we're blind. It's just that we're so spiritual and we do trust God for real on every level.
Right.
We're not listening to the point where we still have to defend and protect ourselves. We're not focusing in on that part. We don't thank God to tell us that. And he definitely is telling us, now he's not going to sit you out here to die. I mean, for real. I mean, aren't we trying to overcome a battle? I mean, on a battle, that means you're going to have to stand up. That means you're going to have to fight. You have to put on your armor. I mean, that's what he's saying, but nobody want to hear that. They just... I mean, we're spiritual people. We trust God. God going to take care of everything.
Talk straight. Talk straight, man.
But I feel like he talks to people. And he sends people on this earth to send a message to his people.
Right. Now, can I say this, Charles? Check this out. How far is my protest? I'm going to protest you, right? But when I get through,
right.
I'm going to come beg to eat at your hand again. Talk to me.
I need a job. Right. I gotta eat. That's why it's so important to go on and get a culture. You gotta get that power out of their hand. The more you depend, I mean that's what they want you at. I mean, you go to college,
right.
Some stuff. You gotta pay attention to what you're going to school for. I mean, at the end of the day, we're just trying to feed
Absolutely.
Our kids. You gotta remember,
it ain't about titles.
It's just about taking care of necessary responsibilities of being an adult. Then
that's
we have to go about picking and choosing. Because you don't want to give nobody the power. You got to act one way just to eat, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't want that. You want to be able to be free. Be able to express yourself.
What's wrong with that, ain't
you? No, just being a grown individual.
I'm definitely wrong with that.
I mean, you know, go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now, you said something about protest and then go back to him and say, let me eat out of your hand.
That's essentially what's going on.
Good point, though.
Somebody
Very
correct me
point.
If I'm wrong. I mean, maybe somebody's listening right now. The number is 657-383-0944. If I'm wrong, I will stand down and accept it. But show me how I'm wrong about that. How you going to protest, tear up where you live, and then have to turn right around and depend on public assistance. I've been there, right? Depend on public social service system. I've been there. You understand what I'm saying? Had to go work for somebody. I've been there.
So it goes back to the question is, and there is a question always when there's a question, surely there's an answer to the question. Since that's the case, Is it a solution That should be a question.
Great
so
question.
Can't answer.
That is right. Great question.
There's no solution.
There is a solution. Yes, sir. Can I tell you what the solution? Can you tell you what the solution is? Can I tell you what the solution is? Now, in 1776, it shouldn't matter that there was a white man, but his name was Thomas Jefferson. He penned these words that ignited the independence of a whole nation. And in 1865, that included people of Afro descent that were brought here as slaves initially. And what he said was simply, we hold certain things to be self-evident, that all men, I want to put a pin right there, y'all. If you ain't a man, you need to go figure out how to become one. So see, what he implied is that all men are endowed with certain rights that are unchangeable. Those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, how do you do that? He went on further to say, to establish these rights or to guarantee them, governments are established among those men. What I'm saying, brethren, is that we have failed to properly establish a culturally relevant government or governance of ourselves and our business economically, educationally, health-wise, socially, politically, the whole nine yards. We out of order. We out of control. And anybody can dictate.
I agree.
Out of order. Okay. That makes sense.
That's why we won't have no respect, Jay. That's why I won't have the respect to get anything done, because we so far behind and lacking in those areas
you
just named. There's no, it's like there's no threat. Like you gonna, they know you're going to do it because you have no power to do anything else but to cooperate.
You
don't cooperate, you know about it, and you need them. Because, like you said, we haven't developed a systematic culture like a government type of thing to keep everything, fair and equal. That's how other people are doing it, because they got their respect. Most of them got their own country. How you going to be in a country where they slaves you at and looking for freedom?
Well,
Oh, crazy.
Charles, I think you're trying to preach on me tonight, man.
I'm just like, I didn't see that when I was in my 20s, so I'm blessed to see my 30s, but I mean, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in my 40s, God willing, though. But now I see it, it's wow, we so far. And we walk around like we'll have nothing to do all day, hands in our pockets.
Wow. Say that, brother. Say that.
Man, it's a movement that you can be doing that can speed some stuff up. We just walk around playing video games like we ain't got nothing to be doing out here. Like, it's crazy. And it's everybody doing it, dog. But you're not doing it because you're comfortable in the reality that they set for you.
Can I bring this home, Charles? Can I bring this home? Folk talking about a football game, right, and kneeling and standing up. Listen, while you're playing basketball, baseball, soccer ball, football, somebody else, do I need to finish? You understand what I'm saying? Now, where do we have time to waste?
That is wasted time. But we're sitting around waiting for somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
Or maybe nobody never just got to miss the conversation that we're having tonight, but it's a lot. Actually, there's enough time in the day to take care of. We so far, man, that's a lot to do outside your 9 to 5.
So here's the reality. All those cats, Pastor Waller, who are experts at athletic games involving balls, why don't they pull their money together and go snatch these little shorties off the street and put them in a therapeutic environment where they deprogram them from self-destruction and they give them – you got the money. You got the resources.
They definitely got the money. They got the power. Yeah.
They're basically – they're not doing it.
Yeah. I'm kind of where they're going to lose their money or something, because I mean, you owe it to your people. You're in a position to change something out here. You don't have to go out there and just do nothing drastic. I mean, you can just provide a proper education system, to assist the generation to come behind us. I mean,
Charles, I'm gonna tell you why they ain't doing it. Because Viacom, CBS, Time Warner, 21st Century Fox, Sony, Comcast, by vending, those are the people who own the labels that they're wearing. Are y'all walking with me? And the minute they step outside of that box, you're going to lose that little money, that little change you get.
Oh, man.
I'm glad you said that. I figured it was something like it, because it don't make sense, you know, just sitting right there with the power to do it but not making a move. So they got to be with you. You're right. You'll lose all of that.
I look at Sister Oprah, bless her heart. She worked hard to get where she is. T.D. Jakes, right? Why do you guys go over to Africa and sponsor a school in Africa?
My goodness.
Talk to me somebody. I mean, it ain't none of my business. I can't tell her how to spend her money. Well, why you got to go all the way to Africa? Now, I would like to go one day and see my ancestry, right? But right now in America, we got some serious issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Man,
right. They own my relatives. They're all right. They got the problem we got.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
Okay. Is it just me, Pastor Wallace?
No, sir. No, sir. Very serious problem, brother. And that's
the truth. Pastor, let me assure you, all I had to drink today is coffee and water. That's it. I ain't drinking nothing else.
So you really actually just having an open mind. That's basically what you're having, man. you need to ensure that there's room just in case you're wrong. But how can you
that's
be
all
wrong?
I'm trying to say. I ain't drinking nothing else but coffee and water today.
Yeah, see, so, you know, the truth is what's going to make us free, man. And if you already said that they know what to do, but yet still they're not doing it for obvious reasons, then that tells you a lot right there. Because I came to my own pattern of thinking, saying, well, is it that they don't care or they don't
know
which one is?
Right.
You know?
So I asked myself, Pastor, if I'm going to engage in conversation with a Hispanic, or with a white person, or with a Japanese person, right? Or one of my own people. What should I be saying? And the truth of the matter is, brother Japanese, brother Hispanic, brother white man, thank you for your concern, but I got to handle this myself. I get back with you when I done got up, caught up with my work that's undone. Now, if you want to help me, encourage me to handle my business.
There you go. But you notice when you go to school how they already got it set up for you to think. they condition your mind and start thinking about what college you want to go to. They never encourage you to be an entrepreneur or think outside the box or what's needed in your culture. They always teach you to think. They got to teach you in a way to think for what's going to help. I don't know, stuff around here that already exists that's not going to help show your own. Yeah.
So Charles, it begs the question, with all of the Negro or African-American scholars we have, why don't we hear them or see them prevalent in their voice and their influence, even, Pastor, in our religious experience and in our subcultural experience? Now, I do give credit to the group that try to keep Kwanzaa going. They do try to orientate people to those principles. That's a good thing. But on a larger scale, why is it that all of a sudden, and see, here's the frustrating part about it. Pastor Waller and I can talk till we blue in the face about what we're trying to do. But until the masses of people realize that this is necessary for their salvation, guess what? The truth won't make them free.
No, sir. No way. Because they reject truth. And that's what's going on. A lot of them are rejecting truth now.
Yeah.
As a result of what you just said, you just talk in the sports arena, you know, with all the people who actually are handling, you know, a couple of dollars, man, if they would just pull together and say, we want to do something for the community so we can make the people aware that we have a very serious problem going on here. But you saying they can't even spend their money. Where are they going to spend it at?
If they did, the fear is that I'm going to get cut off.
That's what I'm saying. So basically, it's not their money then, okay? Okay, you can't spend it like you want to spend it. It's not even yours.
I'm gonna,
like
let me ask
okay.
you.
What about the church then? I mean, what about the church money? Can the church spend any money where they want to spend it?
Sound like they just like them jars to me.
Wait a minute, Charles. Hey, Charles, I believe you're stepping on my toes. Say that again. Ask that question again.
I'm just wondering about the preachers out here around the nation. Can we get some unity on that end? I mean, they are the chosen ones.
Let me bring it home for you, big brother. Let me bring it home for you. That's why, even as a pastor, I don't have time to be spending millions of dollars on a personal jet to fly around nowhere. Huh?
Hey. Wow.
Ten cars, Bentleys and Mercedes and BMWs and what have you.
Man,
$1,000.
Well, I mean, there's so many other things that could be done, right? Now,
right.
Let me be clear. It's none of my business how an individual use their money or their wealth. What I'm talking about is, Brother Malcolm said, you're not a part of the solution. You're part of the problem. I think he was dead right.
I do too.
Yes, sir. Because there is a serious problem. And if you're part of the solution, you know, it's going to be some things done differently. And apparently it's not being done.
Correct. See, Charles, everybody claims that they want to be like Christ and that they want to go to heaven. But I can't find too many people willing to get in line to go to the cross.
Hey, that's a short line, man.
It's
that line,
line
ain't crowded. You're right about that. I mean, I feel like, yeah. I guess the way you said, man, you know, men are called with few chosen, man. But I didn't know it wasn't that many. Wow.
Look. Watch this, Charles. I believe John saw two numbers. He saw one number, and then he saw another number that no man could what?
The number, man. It's too many.
Have I got a witness?
Yeah.
He had 144,000. Then he saw another number. See, my question is, where's your number, man? Where you fit in? Get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
man,
you can't understand where I'm coming from until you walk in my shoes.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's the thing.
Guess I got to go around. Doing seminars, man. I'm just thoughts coming in right now. I feel like, you know, I can be doing a lot more things out here now.
Absolutely, and sometimes, Charles, it's not the real big should-do, and it's not the most expensive thing. It's the small, meaningful thing that you can connect with people on. Lord, be my help, man. It's, you know, my motivation came from laying my parents to rest, and I realized that they're gone now. God rest their soul. But it's on me to take care of business now that we left here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ain't no more Mr. Nice Guy, Pastor Wallace.
You got work to do, brother.
No more Mr.
Yeah, got work. That's it.
That day is over with. Every time I look on the news, brother, and I'm looking at some of the cities that we've made contact with, man, and I'm seeing the young cats steadily being wasted away in the streets. Yeah. Who can be happy, man? Who can be satisfied?
Yeah, it's hard.
Who can be satisfied?
That show you how powerful the mind is if it don't have the right information. If it's lacking information, it'll download anything. And it downloads faster,
right,
which you can see. Virtually speaking, stuff like what we're talking about right now, most people's minds can't digest it. But if they seen
they
the same conversation we had.
Right.
I don't believe they're not visionaries. I don't think they have enough vision or enough attention span to obtain and grasp it. But they got to see it. They got to see something up there. So,
Charles, to have this conversation, to have this type of conversation on a regular daily basis means you got to be proactive. You can't just be talking. You got to do something with it, right? And a lot of people, and I'm just going to be specific, a lot of my people are scared. They scared to bust a move, man.
Mm. That's what it is.
Yeah, we'll sit back and wait for the moves to bust us. That's all. You said it right. That's it.
So
scared to bust
when
the move.
You hear people say, we're going to bring us together, bring pastors together. Well, when they get together, what they going to do, man? What they going to talk about?
They need to talk about how much money they got, how much they can put together, and how can they spread this wealth around the nation. That's period. That's the whole conversation. We're on the same accord. What are we going to do for a solution? This is what they need. That's what they're lacking of. Let's get it done. Period.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if they
now
got to be willing and obedient.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's basic instruction of being the leader of Christ.
Okay. Well, when you look at the behavior of the character we call Christ, that's all he was all about. And one of the beasts that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had with him is that every time he did something, it made them look stupid. Because he wasn't talking about it, he was
right.
Being about it.
Right, right, right.
You know, they whole deal mm-hmm. was, hold up, Jesus, you ain't with us, man. You making us look stupid out here, man. Slow down, man. Calm down.
Yeah.
You're making us look stupid,
that's
man.
That's
you look stupid. You stupid because you stuck. You stuck in your tradition. And you're not willing to come outside of it. That's why you're stupid. That's what a stupor is, to be stuck in a position mm-hmm. and can't see your way out of it.
Yeah. And refuse to come out.
Wow. And refuse to come out of it.
That's a lot of people, man.
And Charles, there's some good people that's stuck now. They stuck.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons we're stuck is because, as I pointed out in the monologue, it's a conditioning of fear to move beyond where you are. And when nobody's taught you how to navigate the world and life, you know, there's this fear that I may go out there. I'm pretty good right now. I'm comfortable. You know what I mean? I can get me a little something, go to the restaurant every now and then and be happy, go to the movies and fry up some chicken and steak on holidays. I'm good. I'm straight, man.
That's it.
Is that really where
man,
it is, though?
On holidays.
Yeah, cause it's like a world within the world we live in. Like now, you know, it's reality, and then it's reality for you and your kind too. You still can't get caught up in just living in this world like that. It'll make you like that. I mean,
sure.
TV conditions you to think like that. That's the point of having those different shows on. They telling you how to act in the household, how to act in a relationship. They teaching you these things. They not giving you a chance to develop your own mindset of how to get along in a household. You and your wife could get along perfect if y'all had a real conversation instead of having
you
a program conversation.
Absolutely. Most of the conflict comes from somebody trying to emulate someone else, and the other one said, "Well, no, I ain't trying to do that." Right?
Right.
Or you
right.
going broke trying to keep up with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, y'all can just sit down and be real with each other and y'all have one good relationship because it'd be y'all against the world. Instead of,
oh, man.
I mean, I'm not going to be battling me against the world. Then I got to battle my spouse or whoever. That's too much going on. I can do that for myself.
Charles, you getting into Thursday night, dude. You getting into Thursday already, man. Don't go there.
Okay, yeah, I did. I forgot about that. But yeah,
but you're right on it, man. You're right on it.
I mean, program don't even know it. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing about it. But it's all descriptive, you know. Especially if you don't talk about it. You know, you're just dealing with it by yourself. And you don't have groups like that. We have talking on a regular basis. Your mind will slip off into TV land. You know what the Joneses are. Trying to pick my house off. That's all I want to conquer in life on my own car. That's so small of a life. It's some footprints need to be set in the sand. Now, it's a reason why you exist, the reason why you're alive. You got to put your footprints in the sand. People, before you don't put theirs there, and like nobody, and everybody just stop. Martin King, Malcolm X got killed. Nobody else put footprints in the sand no more. It's like, well, I'm not going to do that. And that's kind of what we kind of conform to. Okay, we quit that. We're ready to conform to whatever y'all wants to do. And they gave us rules to know how to live life and how to get stuff. So it's instruction to having stuff. You see what I'm saying? You got to have a job. Stay on your job a certain amount of time. I mean, just to get a house, you know, your credit got to be right. So it's a structured pattern of life. It's forced life on you.
Okay. Interesting. Let me ask this question, and I'll shoot this to both of y'all. First of all, listen, audience, you're still listening to Talk Straight, and we got 23 minutes. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. I'd love to entertain your question or your comment, all right? It's your host, Reverend Doctor. We got Brother Charles and Pastor Ricky Waller on with us, Arthur Steele Hatt. Now, here's the question I want to ask y'all, brother. Is there any difference in what, as a young child, you went through in your time? And what your children gonna go through today? Is there any difference, really?
Yeah, today.
Right. Just so, in other words, when you were in the streets, and you were hustling, trying to make it, trying to find your place and your way, any difference in the challenge of the society that we're in today than what it was 40 years ago?
It's called increase. The only thing it is just an increase, you know. Like I could have made $50 back then; they make $200 today, you know.
Okay.
You know, just increasing finance. I can go to the store and buy a Coca-Cola for 10 cents. You go to the store and buy it, you know, it costs you 50 cents. So, just using that for an example.
I get you. So what I'm hearing is
your probation.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I get a year probation for selling drugs.
Okay.
Today, you get 10 years probation. You understand? Sad, man. Sad.
Well, here's it sounds like what you're saying is the same triggers, the same social orientation and behaviors have recycled themselves over the last 40, 50 years. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
true.
Who's going to change that?
When you think about
who controls the media and what their agenda is, why would they change it when they're making money off of it? So who's got to have a mind?
That got to be the change in the church you go to then. That's a start.
Uh-oh. Say what? Say what?
You got to make sure you're getting the right word. Every church ain't gonna feed that. I mean, they're gonna feed you some a lot of prosperity. That's a stuff to make your spirit feel uplifted. But sometimes you get down and dirty. You gotta hear how it is. You gotta hear it straight for what it is. You need to know where you stand. You stand as an individual in life in this world, in this country we call America. Where do you stand as an individual? That's not being taught. They teach you everything else. You need to know how you're viewed. And what your obstacles are, what you're lacking. You need to know those things, what we're lacking there, so you know what areas to invest in. We invest into everybody else's dream except our own dream as a whole.
That's
all we want to have the American dream, and we haven't invested time and money into it. It's never going to come to pass. Never going to come to pass. We can think about it, but until you actually live it and do it, you won't see change.
You know what the trick is to achieving the American dream? The trick is the dream is yours, and you have the freedom to build and develop yourself and to be independent. That's the trick to the American dream. It ain't something that somebody got to give you. Huh?
Right. That was the teacher how to be selfish. They never taught you the American dream as a culture is to come up out of the situation you're in. Everybody else developed it real good, and they out of the situation. We haven't developed the American dream for ourselves as a culture, not an individual, as a culture where we're headed.
That's absolutely right. You know, when I, Charles, look at the plight in 1913, between 1913 and 1917, there are images of people coming from Poland and from Italy. They were poor, and they had all they had was the rags on their back coming off of Paris Island on those boats. But look at them today, man. Do they not control the corporate America today?
You're absolutely right, they do. Because they got
somehow,
that
culture. You just said it right there. You just said it right there. They realize that in order for what happened 80 and 100 years ago to the ancestors to be meaningful for our great-grandchildren today, we got to develop a culture around sustainment, a way of life around maintaining the growth and the progress that was made. And that's where a lot of our good brothers and sisters fall short. We get selfish and we get greedy. It's all about me. Forget about y'all and forget about Pastor. Well,
right.
I got to get mine the way I live.
There's a bunch of individuals out here. We got a bunch of individuals. I mean, it's some prosperous individuals though. But just think,
sure
what you could be together,
sure. Right?
Just think, imagine what you could be together on one accord, thinking that, you know, we're like minds. And we probably could see some things. I mean, it's definitely worth the shot to me. It's something different, but it has to be incorporated. Just as important like school is. It's mandatory that you get the information. It's not. If you pick and choose, it needs to be a forced education.
Absolutely. Look, Exodus describes a pattern of teaching children. Pastor, in Exodus, the 20th chapter, it said, teach them when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night, when they're eating at the dinner table, when they're sitting around in the house. Teach them. Instill these values in them. We want to know what to do with our children to manage their time. What? Say what? But you hate what
it just takes somebody to write their book, and I hope everybody buy the book. With just basic instructions for everybody, each household to follow, so we'll be on the same accord. We need to have the same instructions like we got the same Bible. It needs to be translated to a form where it needs to be translated in the form so people can understand the movement. I mean, that's what we lack in there. We're not together in that fall, but.
Yeah. And I think that, Charles, I think when people hear you talk about movement now, in the back of their mind, they automatically think about the Black Panther Party and some of the other, SNCC and some of the other movements of the 60s. I'm not knocking those things. But one of the reasons we don't see them today is because it was only as good as the person that brought it up. There was no process to teach and to sustain the concepts that were useful, right? And some of those things are useful today. We did a show about the gangs and how the conservative vice lords in Chicago, they wasn't just out there shooting and beating and killing one another. They were trying to literally feed hungry children in poverty-stricken areas of the west side of Chicago. But they knew that we have to make sure we guard and protect certain things, right? Even the gangs had a social consciousness to them when they started. I'm sorry, Pastor, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying notice the difference. No, keep on talking. I just notice the difference. The purpose of what they was doing.
Absolutely. Now a young cat, he get in the gang, he think, oh, he got to kill enough people so he have some protection, right? Against who?
Yeah.
Who's your enemy?
The man in the mirror, brother.
Yeah, it's definitely in the mind.
Yeah.
But that's okay, though, because it's all in the mind. So, I mean, that's something that can change. You know, your mind constantly changes with growth, so.
Right.
I'm glad nothing that you inherited that we stuck in this position. I'm glad it's just something that a few words can satisfy. And I feel like that's an easy job. Just got to get out there and do it. I mean, it can be done. Words are powerful. Think about it.
Charles, you all in my flavor, man. This is great right here with a little cherry in it. Now, what you're saying, Charles, is so true. Watch this. The catch is, it's the Center for Disease Control says there's three causes of a disease, right? it's biological. In other words, you're born with it. It was passed from your gene. Or the environment can affect you to cause you to have a disease. Or your behavior can lead you to catch a disease. Now, we can't control biology, can we? But we can control the environment, purging it of every toxin and things that are not good for us. And we can change our behavior. Those are two things we have control over. And the social disease that is killing us, we can cure that disease, brother.
We can. We can.
Yes, sir. It's possible.
We just got to recognize it's very possible. It's just lacking. Most of it just never been heard of, just haven't heard, haven't even been exposed to it. But once, you know, you hear something, then you start seeing for yourself, then it starts making sense. But that's what we're lacking in there. It just haven't been talked about.
I'm going to tell you something that I'm really, Pastor Walt, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be quiet and let you talk, Pastor. I'm going to tell you something that I'm realizing more and more every day. The more these young cats that are out here hungry get this information, the more curious they become about how to make it real for them. But when you're scared to give it to them, they'll never get it.
Oh, yeah, right. They'll never get it. And you'll never be able to give it to them. You'll never be able to give it to them if you're asleep. That's why the word says it is now high time to awake out of sleep. It is now, now, right now.
Woo.
How are they gonna get it if we are asleep?
Wow.
And as I said, man, I know what it is to be in a deep sleep. I mean, without a doubt. But we talked earlier about what the churches are going to do, and that's rightfully so, man. There's no way the athletes with all that money, I let them get off the hook. Because you got a whole lot of money don't mean you have the knowledge. They may not even like church. They may not even go to church, you know. I'm not saying that they don't. But let's just say the people that attend church faithfully, and they got the word of God sitting before them. See, they don't have a pass. They can't get a pass. Them guys with all that money, them athletes with all that money, I give them a pass. You spend your money on what you want to spend it on. It's your money. Do what you want to do with it. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. But now the people in the church, glory to God, the people in the church, man, they got a book in there that's so powerful.
But yet, still,
he's not applying it. Tells me something, man. And I'm saying this with a humble, very humble heart. When I seen information in that, man, when you said it is now high time to wake out of sleep, it was not talking to them athletes. It was not talking to the people that were in the street. It was talking to the people who go inside of a building and praise the Lord. They say they do. Open up the book, go to the chapter, scripture, celebrate, sing, shout, and I mean whatever they may be doing inside the building, man. And then as soon as they prepare to leave the church, they forgot all about how good God was, man. That right there it's a disgrace, man. You know, it's a disgrace kingdom, brother. And I'm saying all that to say, the church has a responsibility, and it's no need of them trying to escape it. Why are they going to put everything on the church? Because you got the greatest information in the world inside of the church. That's why you're supposed to do some things that you're not doing. And you need to expose all of you.
That's it. Amen.
You know?
Amen. I like the way you answered. Why you put it all on the church? Because judgment begins in the house of God.
That's what he said now. That's where it started. They don't start in the street. People don't know him. You know,
you claim to know God. Yeah, you got to come with it, man. You got to come with it. And that's the word, because without that, I mean, what are you telling? I mean, it's amazing how people can attend church and don't get fed, though. It's amazing how they can still go to church every week and not getting proper teaching or proper even understanding why you even at church. What are you supposed to be? You're supposed to be to hear from God. To deliver his people from the, you know, been captive. I mean, how do you go to church every Sunday and you're not getting the word, you're not getting fed consistently? Can go though. I don't understand that part.
It's called a junk food diet. You're on a junk food diet.
So then I'm gonna make you not fault the preacher, because it's like, because you gotta mind for yourself to think about before you walk through that door. I mean, you get satisfied in different areas, but when you come back and you leave the church, you step back into reality. What's changing as a whole out here? If you don't see nothing come, these churches come together with the same word. I mean,
right?
I don't know. It's like every church needs one word. Everybody
so,
needs to hear the same
so,
word.
So Charles, you know that even your religious identity has been in some way directed through media, through the movies. You know that, don't you?
Right.
And the gospel music or music that you listen to is crafted in such a way that it keeps you always what? Dependent and looking for something or someone. You know, I heard Paul say, work out your own soul salvation. And Jesus said, Pastor say this all the time, you got to know the truth, and the truth going to make you free. That's what's going to do it for you. That's going to do the trick.
Right. And that's true. That is true. Now I know what that actually means.
Yeah.
Well, I know I heard that before, but it didn't have the same meaning that it has today for me.
Yeah.
And that's a big swallow.
And the people desire the truth, man. The people desire the truth. They're coming up in there for the truth. And the man who is the overseer, that's all he's supposed to be shooting out from the pulpit, man, is truth, man.
If you don't let these people know they've been captured for their mind, that's the first trick of the enemy, because you'll think you just having these ideas by yourself. They coming from somewhere. You got to be careful with them to your mind, because that's your whole navigation system through this so-called life journey. Now, if that's tampered with, you're going to bounce off the wall everywhere. You're going to ping-pong a little bit everywhere. You got to have a structured mind for this game of reality we live in, because you'll wander off. If you don't satisfy the wants and the what-ifs in your mind, or where I'm about to head, or who I am as a person, you can't never go forward. You got to satisfy that, or you're going to be looking.
You really can't.
You're going to be certain.
You really
looking for identity.
Right.
Now you're trying to figure out who you are. You're looking for an identity if you're not told who your identity is. And that's sad, because I see it happening every day.
Yeah, it's real, man. It's real.
It's real.
You know?
Then capture for your mind.
And people talk about the struggle. That's the struggle. The struggle is conquering the enemy, the man on the inside. And understand the man on the inside of you. That's what a struggle is. The good news is there's hope. You can't understand where I'm coming from until you walk in my shoes now. I mean, you can want to help and you can offer help, but if you don't understand that from one generation to the next, I don't think like my mom and my grandmama did. Because for their time, that worked. But today, it's hard out here.
Well, but you know what the good news is?
What's
the good news is... The good news is people have been they've been conditioned to take instructions. We just need the
right
instructions put out there. They're not a follow good instructions. We can see life happening.
Right.
The right instructions.
Right.
Yeah, once they get the right instructions, they'll be all right.
Oh, they'll be set then.
I have no instruction right now, so it's kind of whatever you want to do. No, it ain't. You got free will, but you got to use that wisely.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, I'm seeing cannot believe right this second as we speak. We got less than 5.5 minutes. Before it's time, what are you doing with the clock, man? What is going on?
I'm telling you, man, utilizing the moment, brother. You know, utilizing the moment. And before you know it, time has went by so quick. I mean, it was just, you know, recalling about it. It was just 8:00. You know, it wasn't very long ago.
Like,
it was 8:00.
Looked like we just got started. 7:00.
Yeah. Amazing.
Wow.
But now when you get down to it, brother, it's a solution to the problem. I like that about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the main thing. That's the main thing is that there is a solution. I want to just kind of hit that question that I posed, and Charles really answered it. The reality is Pastor Wiley answered it. The same things that were going on then have recycled themselves today. And the truth is the only difference is how conscious you are and how well those that preceded you taught you how to deal with that same stuff, you know. And that's where our hope is. Got about 3 minutes, about 4 minutes. Give me something I can hold on to, Brother Charles. I'm going to have to let you go, man. I hate to, but I'm going to have to let you go.
I think I've been talking enough, man, but I would like to see it happen. I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when or how, but it's definitely possible. The same words that got us in the situation can get us right out of the situation. It has got to be talked about with somebody, you know, with good sense, with good guidance. I mean, come on, man. I mean, everybody in the world could pitch in a dollar right now towards this, and we get ourselves out of the situation right now. That's how simple it is. Everybody in the world heard this same message and invested $1 out of their pocket. We can make change happen one city and one state at a time.
That's it. That's it.
That's how small it is. We got to look at it like that. You got to do numbers.
That's right.
Just some simple math, huh?
Simple math. Everybody invested $1. A trillion dollars. Yeah, we can do one city, one state at a time. There ain't number shit though. We can take care of it real quick.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Pastor, give me something to hold on to, Pastor. I got about 2.5 minutes.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man. I've been, man. I thank you, Brother Charles and Pastor Dockery, man. I'd like to share this as we wind down. You know, Psalm 71, in a few verses, it said, you know, 14, but I will hope continually, and I will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth is filled of thy righteousness and of thy righteousness and of salvation all the day. For I know not forever. I will come with the mighty acts of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. And hitherto have I declared your wondrous works. Yeah, even when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have declared thy strength unto the next generation and thy might to everyone to come. In other words, we should have something to pass down to those that don't know. That's why I said increase. You see what I'm saying? So we should have righteousness increasing. You know what I mean? We should have something to offer to increase. Just like the unrighteousness increase, let's be important. Just let it increase. Let these people take it to the next level. But we have to have something to pass down, my brother.
Okay. That's it. That's on the money right there. www.dfcinstitute.com. Please go check us out. We need your help. We need your help. We'll be back Thursday. Charles kind of dipped a little bit into our conversation dealing with what we're fighting about in our relationship. But we're going to get to that. We're going to deal with it. Thursday, 7 o'clock. Join us Thursday. And we look forward to having another conversation. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. And we're grateful for you joining in, listening to us tonight. We'll be back next Thursday. Let's see what we can't put together. And we'll see you then.